Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was such an enjoyable celebration of baseball, wasn't it?
Yep. It was great. It was great. It really was one of the most memorable series ever. And we were talking about it on our show, Baseball Today, and you know, people are like, how do you dare not mention 2016? And I said, 2016's Game 7 was freaking incredible. Like, really one of the best Game 7s ever in the history of sports, in my opinion. But do you remember one other, like, clutch moment? The games were not super close for the most part. This series had it all. It had an 18-inning game. It had a guy throwing a complete game. It had a guy who had thrown a complete game get up in the bullpen in like the 17th inning in the next game. It had crazy defensive plays that ended games or saved games. It had a historic home run that is really one of the most dramatic home runs by my guy Miguel Rojas in the history of the sport.
Yeah.
Because it's so unexpected.
You're two outs away from losing the series, Chris.
Exactly. So it had so many different elements of making a series so wonderful, with ebbs and flows and drama and I can't believe that moment. And I don't care, but like, the ratings were phenomenal, the best since 2017 in a sport which had had somewhat of a downturn. I'm not here to sit here and say, well, no, college football is the second biggest sport. It's not baseball. I don't care. Like, as sports fans, this is what you're dying for. You want to live and enjoy those moments, whether you have a rooting interest or rooting against the team, or it doesn't matter. Just enjoy the moment. Who cares about the rest of it? It was awesome.
Yeah. You know what? We had a caller call us earlier in the week, and I was like, oh man, now people are saying that was the best game seven, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, why would you be bummed about that? And I was like, you know what?
Hey.
You're right. It knocked us down a peg. It's not like when you're sitting there at the four-letter network and you need the lazy reel of trying to figure out misery for a sports city. Oh, let's go pull out Cleveland's again. So I loved it. I thought it was great. It was a great series to watch, you know, and there were little Cleveland stories in there left and right if you were, you know, reading between the lines. But the best part is maybe we don't have to be the victim of that, the worst outcome of a game seven. You know, let the Blue Jays have that honor for a little bit, although I do feel bad for them.
I do too. I mean, they were a great team. You know, they obviously have a superstar in Vlad who's, you know, rocket ship will continue to move up into different levels of the stratosphere. But a lot of those guys are dudes that have either played on other teams or just haven't done a ton. I mean, you know, Ernie Clement turned into a hit machine. Do you know that Ernie Clement, obviously, you saw the stat that he has the most hits in a single postseason,
30,
and that comes with an asterisk.
Yeah, 30.
Because, you know, there's so many more games, albeit that he didn't play in a wild card round this year. The Jays had a bye, but there's so many more games where you have a chance to accomplish it. It doesn't diminish it, but you have to put that out there. The point I looked at, Ernie Clement never had more than 30 hits in a season before he got to Toronto. So it just tells you that, I mean, you keep... He's like baseball's version of Sam Darnold this year. You know, like he just turned it on into a different level. So,
Chris Rhodes joining us.
Hey, one last quick question. What's the feeling like out there? I mean, is it, you know what it's like here? And I think we had this conversation before, but when the Dodgers win, man, is it like everyone's still partying or is it kind of died out because we got the Lakers playing already? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think there was a little bit more sense of relief than anything else. Because I think people were going to question, you know, there's a big difference between 3 and 6 years as opposed to 2 and 6 years and losing another World Series. And underperforming, because that's exactly what it would have been seen as if this team did not come back and win games 6 and 7. All I can tell you is this, is that we were celebrating our oldest son's birthday on Saturday night, and we were there, had a few friends with him, and we're sitting at the table and we're watching the game, and our feed is 10 seconds ahead of the Bar's feed.
Oh.
So when Rojas hits the homer, we explode.
Mm.
And 10 seconds later, the whole place erupts.
That's
so
cool.
They were into it. That's awesome. That was great. It was, listen, I'll be the first one to take shots at Los Angeles for its lack of fandom, but I've told you this countless times that they are really good Lakers and Dodgers fans.
Chris Rose joining us. A real big picture thought here, and I don't know if there's anything to this or if these guys just are a bit of an aberration. Ohtani, clearly an aberration. Yamamoto was phenomenal. Sasaki looks good. Does the success of those three guys from Japan make major league teams look even more closely at pitching in Japan, Chris? Because, you know, we've seen some, but we haven't seen a ton. But, man, those three guys were really good for L.A.
Yeah, but, I mean, the sport has been sprinkled with them. It's just that is the number one sport in Japan. You can't move 3 feet without seeing an Ohtani billboard or poster or advertisement. It is the sport. And so, I mean, all you had to do was watch the World Baseball Classic in 2023. Our team did not suck. It wasn't like a bunch of guys that are like, it's okay. Maybe the pitching was a little thin in some areas because it's spring training and because everybody that is from Japan wants to pitch for Japan. But it's going to be really interesting in 2026. I mean, Skeens is already committed for next spring. I forget if Skubal has. I would actually be surprised if he would, just because he might even be on a new team by then. But there's a ton of talent over there, guys. It just is. And you'd be silly to not at least attempt to get in the game. Now, whether or not you can pry guys away from the West Coast, that's another question.
Yeah. One last baseball thought for you.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that Shane Bieber picked up his option, and I thought, wow, I wonder if that would have happened here. I'm really surprised he didn't go free agency, Chris.
I am too. Now, there are some that will say, well, hold on, he's just whatever, 10 starts back or 11 starts back from Tommy John. I actually thought he pitched pretty well, all things considered. And Sandy Alcantara came back at the beginning of the year, and he was all over the place. I didn't see that with Bieber. Can he still be sharper? Absolutely. I mean, there's measuring sticks guys try to hit all the time. You can't expect them to be right out of the word go back at the top of his game. But there are guys who signed longer contracts last season. I mean, Frankie Montas, if you know that name, last year pitched in both Cincinnati and Milwaukee, meaning 2024, became a free agent and got a 2-year, $34 million deal. And he's horrific. I mean, he's not close to Bieber level. So I would have thought that Shane could have gotten a 3 for 65 or 70. Now, he's only still going to be 31 next year. Who knows what the economics of the sport will look like 1 year from now, because, you know, we only have one more left before the labor deal expires. But I'm not sitting here and saying he's an idiot, but I would never say that because it's his choice. But I was a little bit surprised about it.
All right, what were your thoughts on the NFL trade deadline, in particular the Browns? I mean, we know what the Jets did, but, you know, there was talk earlier in the week the Browns were going to be buyers, and if, you know, you send one defensive lineman to Chicago and switch a 7th and 6th round pick, it doesn't exactly sound like it was an extravaganza day yesterday for the Browns. But your thoughts on what the Browns did or didn't do yesterday?
Well, I was always confused by the adding. What were you trying?
I'm with you. I am with you, brother. I didn't get it at all.
I don't understand it at all. People say, well, you're just hanging on to these mid and the late round picks. But Rashid Shaheed is a free agent, I believe. So there's no guarantee that he's going to stay here any more than a handful of games if you made a trade for him. I don't think it ever made sense. Unless you could get the sort of deal that they swung for a Tyson Campbell.
Yep.
And there weren't any of those yesterday. There were major, major deals. So for the most part, involving the New York Jets, who, in my opinion, are in a very different situation than the regime in Cleveland is. The Jets aren't going to fire their GM after 1 year. I think Aaron Glenn is safe, but I don't know, their head coach. But that has nothing to do with moving players. He doesn't have a say in it, really, unless there's something going on behind the scenes that we're not privy to. But Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski may or may not be fighting for their jobs, so draft picks might not look as good as keeping David Njoku around or keeping an offensive lineman, particularly when you're planning on playing, if not one, both of your rookie quarterbacks the rest of the year. I just didn't see a lot that made sense. Now, some people say, well, what about the Miles for 3 first-rounders from Philly? Well, where did we get that? Like, are we 100% sure that that works? And the guys that the Jets traded were not generational talents. That's the other thing. They're really good football players. I think they're both very good. And, you know, Sauce could be a total missing piece in Indianapolis. Who knows? But they're not Myles Garrett. I can tell you that. And I'm not so sure that Andrew Berry wants to go down as the guy who traded Myles Garrett after trading for Deshaun Watson. That's not a resume that's, if I were sitting down and hiring somebody, I'd be like, let's go.
Dylan Gabriel starts this week against the Jets. You think he's the starting quarterback of this team, or is he the starting quarterback for now on a very short leash?
So what was the first question? Do I think he's a starting quarterback?
No, he's the starting quarterback. That's what they're telling us. Yeah. But do you think he's got a really short leash? I mean, in other words, you know, if he doesn't play well, are we going to Zappe? Are we going to Shadur? Or do you think he's the guy?
Oh, I wouldn't go to Zappe. I mean, I don't think that serves any purpose whatsoever. If Shador's not healthy enough, then you keep him in there. And if he's struggling, he's struggling. Like, who? Bailey Zappi's not the future of the – we know that. And I don't think Dylan Gabriel's the future of the team. And I don't think Shadur Sanders is, but I don't know yet. I haven't seen him take an NFL snap, so I won't go that far. But once again, the Cleveland Browns see Dylan Gabriel as something significantly different than I do. I don't have a trained eye. I watch like a lot of fans do. I think I know a decent amount of football, but the people I talk to who played football – are the ones that I really rely on and, in fact, played the position. Those are the people whose eyes I tend to judge, you know, and listen to. And I have yet to find somebody who says, yeah, you know what, he does have traits that can let you do that. Now, I think we're just kind of stuck right now, but I think I'm a lot like most fans, and we're waiting for when they break the glass that's surrounding Shadur. And do I think that he's injured? Yeah, I do. I mean, I don't – these people who are like, well, they're faking an injury. Guys, for God's sake, stop.
See how many times he got sacked in college? I don't think he's faking anything. I don't
– Stop. I mean, just – we have to stop with some of the stuff. It's just so gross and misguided. You can sit here all day and rip on the Browns for drafting two quarterbacks and – thinking that Dylan Gabriel is better than Shadur Sanders, which we don't know at this point because we haven't seen one of them. Like, that stuff, you can argue about all.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All day. The stuff about they're screwing him, guys, please. We don't have, my brain does not have the capacity to deal with it.
All right, Chris, what are you looking for in second half here? What should be the goal of this franchise and organization for for the next nine games?
Well, I would, like I said, I would like to see 12 play sooner rather than later. You know, I want to see Mike Hall be healthy and get a decent number of snaps and see if he can apply any pressure from the middle, you know, because it feels like between Collins and Graham and Hall and Aiden Huntington, it's decent up there. I'll be curious about the linebacker position because I think we're going to lose a lot of those guys after this year. Let's see if Miles Harden can play in the slot. Like, there's a lot of Cedric Tillman. Can he stay on the field? Can we get Harold Fannin on a crossing route where he doesn't get tackled by eight guys within, you know, 12 inches of catching the football? That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, that makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Tommy Rees calling plays.
Yep.
Any expectations from you?
I don't know. I mean, look, guys, the Jets just traded their best two defensive players. If this isn't the game, I don't know. I haven't checked the weather for this weekend in New York. I don't know if it's going to be swirling wind. Who knows? But, man, oh, man, if we don't attempt to get the ball downfield, and I'm not talking about throwing it 50 yards. That's not downfield. That's a prayer in the NFL. I'm talking about working 15 to 20-yard routes. You know, stop playing east-west, go north-south, things of that nature. Then there's something really, really wrong with this. So I would, you know, I don't know, guys. I'm still watching. I'm like everybody else. I just, you want to feel good about something. You want to feel good about something. And I'll tell you what I didn't feel good about. The Raiders' two-point try. God dang it. Like, even on the Browns' bye week, we lose. Ridiculous.
Thank you, dude.
Goodbye, Chris. Goodbye.
Goodbye, guys.
Can I throw this one at you?
Jeff, you could throw anything but a pie at me right now. That'd be good. And even a pie sounds good because I'm kind of hungry.
There are four quarterbacks on this football team right now.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson, Bailey Zappe, and, of course, the rookies, Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. How many of those four do you think are on this team next year?
One. Nope, two.
Wow, really?
Two, sorry. But there's a good chance it's one. If they let Watson go, then it's one.
Wow, really?
Yeah. How many rookies do you need? How many rookies do you need on the roster?
Well,
you only have two first-year players, or two players going into their sophomore season, essentially, and one freshman? Come on. It's not the recipe for winning in the NFL.
No, it's not. I personally would find it really surprising if next year, if this combination happens, if they drafted a quarterback and both Sanders and Gabriel were back next year. That just doesn't feel right. The Browns are back to work today, and obviously media day, you know, everybody's talking. Jerry Jeudy, Browns wide receiver, was in the locker room, and he was asked about what's going on right now. They're 2-6. There's frustration. Is there frustration? What do you do? How do you handle it? Offense not playing well, blah, 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 blah. Keep going with that. Here's what Jerry had to say about all that.
How do you work through any frustration then when, you know, you're not in control 100% of what's happening?
Yeah, you know, it's frustrating for sure, but, you know, I don't really just, you know, I got to focus on the next play. You can't hold that frustration in too long. You know, they're going to go the right way. I just think about, like, okay, it's going to come the next play. You know, come the next play, I'm thinking about, okay, it's going to come the next game. You know, you kind of like trick your mind a little piece, kind of in the way, but, yeah.
That's Jerry Jeudy.
I give him credit for that.
He's got to trick himself, and yes, yeah. I'm frustrated. And boy, you know, it's almost relief to hear that, isn't it, Andy?
It's that you see a player from the outside, and you wonder what he's thinking, and you want to root for him because he's wearing a Browns uniform, yet you're frustrated because he's not giving you the offensive output you want as a fan, and yet he doesn't want it either. And to hear him say that, it was like, well, we were talking about with Jimmy Haslam before. If Haslam was the reason they made the Watson deal. If he comes out and says it was a giant mistake and that's why these guys are still here at the end of the season, I think we have respect for people that tell us truth and honesty And I that makes me a Jerry Jeudy fan, what he just said there. I mean, look, it's been frustrating. We've rooted for him. We want to root for him again, and we want to turn around and go, man, look at this guy. He's clearly a number one. What a great move it was to bring him in. That's what we want to say, inherently. But, you know, you come back here, yeah, we are. Nobody can catch the ball. Jerry Jeudy's not a one. It's where we live. We live in that world.
I love that voice. He's clearly, you know, a competent NFL wide receiver. I don't need to hear him say he's frustrated. I can only imagine that he is.
And it's okay. I'm okay with that. It's real. It's very real.
Yeah, well, it definitely is. Now, can they get him the football? Can he catch it? He's obviously had some issues with that. Can he catch it and do something with it? Again, I go back to what Daryl said. Chris Rowe said it. We've said it. They're playing the Jets this week. Jets are 1-7. Jets just traded their two best defensive players. If your offense is ever going to do anything,
this is the week.
There it is.
Yeah.
The trade deadline was here, and it's gone. And David Njoku is still here.
Good. I'm glad he's here. He's your leading receiver.
David's a good football player. There's no question. David's a good football player. You know, is David going to be here long term? Who knows? His name was thrown out in trade rumors and everything else, but he's here, and he spoke with the media about that.
I'm in Cleveland, baby. I'm not going nowhere. I ain't leaving.
So it's still the last year of your contract. You're hoping that
I'm not leaving.
Ever?
Ever.
So you don't want to leave.
Jesus Christ. No.
Do you think you can work something out that you're here beyond this year?
I hope so, yeah.
Do you know if extension talks started at all or not?
I can't say. I'm so happy, man. I don't know how else to put it. I'm so happy. For real, I'm serious.
Did they ever tell you before?
If you ask me if I'd be happy one more time, I'm going to lose my...
That's not what I'm asking.
All right,
did they tell you before or like leading up to?
I found out the same way you found out at 4 p.m. yesterday. I'm here. Okay. I ain't leaving. Okay?
Nah, y'all do that.
David, are you happy?
I'm happy as hell.
Andy?
How do you not like David and Joker?
They are 2-6. Their offense stinks. And David appears to be happy to be here.
I'm down with it.
Good for him. Now, see, Andy, you yell at me sometimes.
Yes.
Because I say, maybe a guy wants to be here or wants to be somewhere. It's not necessarily about winning. I must go somewhere to win. I appreciate a guy who says, I like it here, and I want to help this situation. Thank you, David. Thank you very much. Honestly, isn't that great to hear?
Jeff, by the time, maybe 3 weeks from now, hopefully, he will become the Browns' 10th all-time leading receiver for yards. Think about that. He's sitting at 4,029 right now. And Milt Morin's at 4,208.
Milt Morin.
That would take him to 10. He's got to pass Brian Brennan.
Brian of Massachusetts.
Good man, Brian Brennan.
Brian Brennan.
Big fan. Spent some time. I was on the team with him. It was me, Bernie, Brian, and Sam Rosen.
I was on the team with Brian. We did Browns postgame shows together.
There you go. Good for you.
So there you go.
All right.
But that doesn't matter right now because David Njoku just said, What did he say, Jax?
Said I'm happy. I want to stay here.
Huh. He's the most optimistic guy in this town right now.
He did. He really said that?
I believe so.
I'm in Cleveland, baby. I'm not going nowhere. I ain't leaving.
Okay.
It's the best line I've heard since Hugh Jackson's here, baby. He was so excited. I was excited for you when he walked in the door. He was the hot candidate.
Yeah, he sure
that's
was.
That's that same energy.
Are you okay with David?
Yes. Right. Why would I want our top receiver to go away?
You often say, you know, it's about winning. Who cares if you're happy somewhere? Got to go win.
No, it's David, about getting paid.
David wants to be here.
Yeah.
And wants to be here and beyond. He also continued. He said he wasn't going anywhere. Ever. Well, now,
money, as long as they keep giving him contracts.
Money's going to talk, and the Browns have to give him the money he wants, and if he can't get it here, he might be able to get it elsewhere, but he doesn't want to go anywhere. I appreciate that.
I'm not going to lie. There was a point of the week, earlier this week, where I could envision David Njoku wearing a Packers uniform and picking up a ring at the end of the season.
Well,
so I'm good with what he said today.
They lost Tyler Kraft, but Luke Musgrave's going to step up there and be the guy. supposedly. So we'll see.
You tell me you don't want David Njoku, who's on the verge of becoming a top 10 all-time receiver for the franchise?
He is one of the few players on the offense who you think can actually produce at the NFL level, skill position-wise, on a consistent basis. Quinshon Judkins and David, and then Harold Fannin, who's a young guy coming along. And then you hope Jerry Jeudy.
Jeff, he is the top receiver of this era. Look, every name is...
Well, you know why? He's been here.
Yeah.
That's
17
that's
to
why.
25, yes. Yeah,
so. He's been here.
He is the leading receiver post-99. Kevin Johnson, just past Kevin, well, he passed Kevin Johnson a little while ago.
What do you think his comments that we just heard, what do you think that'll mean in the locker room? Because you can be sure that other guys are going to hear what he said, and you can be sure that he might even be saying that to other guys.
Bring it on, but I want guys that can play. He can play. We know how many guys can play. And he's got a young tight end in Harold Fannin that should be looking up to him saying, you know what, I hope that I can put as many years in as this guy is and have that attitude.
Nothing wrong with having two really competent tight ends.
Especially in Kevin Stefanski's offense.
And the Browns have those, and that's great to hear. What did David say, Andy, again?
I think he was happy to be here.
Was he happy to be here?
I'm in Cleveland, baby. I'm not going nowhere. I ain't leaving.
There it is.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.